Live from Kakariko Village. Broadcast throughout the Retroverse, transmitted to the real world via a maze of wires connecting the Super Nintendo to a Wii, to a Wi-Fi network, and finally to the Internet. The Techno Funk Boy presents the Retro Zoo Super Show. Here are your hosts, Kai and Steven.
Thank you and welcome to the Retro Zoo Super Show. I am one of your hosts, Kai.
And I'm Steven.
Okay, you gotta quit that. Just stop it. Just stop. Please stop.
All right, you wanna start over?
We can't start over. It's live.
I know, but we can just tell everybody to forget it.
All right, everybody forget that. I'm your host. I'm one of your hosts, Kai.
And I'm Steven.
That's much better. That's considerably better. We are produced, as always, by Drum. Drum, how are you doing today?
I am functioning normally.
That's good. So, all right, man. I'm about ready to give up on Riders on the Storm. Heroes. Heroes of the Storm.
Heroes
of the Storm. Is it on the storm or of the storm? Now I'm getting everything mixed up.
Yeah, I don't think that deeply about things, so you questioning it has made me question it because I'm a sheep.
At my computer, there's like an icon right there. Let's see what the icon says.
Heroes of the Storm. I just looked at my icon.
Heroes of the Storm.
Well, why is that? Why are you about to give up on it? It's hard.
No, I'm fine with losing. I've reached the point where the bots are making me more angry than anything.
Yeah. Well, then you don't play bots. You stop playing bots.
Well, but then I remembered why I don't play online games.
Because you, the same reason I don't.
Because I hate people who play online games. And they're just a bunch of jerks, and I don't know. I just like it ruins the experience for me.
That's funny that you say that because I actually think Heroes of the Storm has a way friendlier audience than my other main squeeze of online game, you know, Counter-Strike Go.
It probably does, and and I don't log into the audio, so it's just like the. It's just the people who are so mad at me that they make the effort to type things out that I see. And it really has not been bad, but it's one of those things. It's like, I mean,
you're not progressing and then enough to like, well, you wait. So you're just frustrated with bots in general. You're not frustrated with the level because you could always move up to a more difficult level of bots. I mean, I don't think I can even win against elite bots.
What's the level right before that?
I don't know. Very hard.
Okay, yeah, all right. So the fourth level of bot is where I am. And like you, the top level, there's a big difficulty spike between level 4 and 5. It's like I'm winning fairly consistently at 4 and I'm just getting just destroyed on 5. But it does still feel like my bots are just as dumb as ever, and the other bots are smarter.
On 5?
On 4.
Oh.
So, okay, so I was on the map that where you get the dragon.
Uh-huh.
All right, and I hate playing this map because all the bots are so stupid on it. Even at level 4, like they just like they all congregate at one of the shrines, and you have to activate both. One team has to activate both shrines to get the dragon, and they all congregate at one shrine, and then they all abandon that shrine to go to the other shrine. And so, like, I take the shrine that's not being taken, and then I go stand by the dragon, and all the bad guy bots just run straight by me as I'm standing by the dragon to go undo the shrine that I just did while my team is getting the other shrine. And so I get the dragon, and it's like, okay, y'all are a bunch of idiots, and this really isn't that fun because it's just a programming loophole that I'm exploiting. Yeah. But then I'm like taking the dragon, and all five of the other team's heroes gang up on me, and all four of my teammates just disappear. They just go away. And it's like, guys, we have the dragon. Follow the dragon, and we can destroy stuff.
But if I'm
beating off five heroes and no one's helping, then I don't get to destroy that much. And it's just
you can command them. I mean, I don't remember what button it is.
Yeah, but that doesn't work that well. But I also don't use it. I don't use it like I should. But it also doesn't work that well.
Yeah, as soon as you capture the dragon, you should click that command button on the dragon, and then they'll all come protect the dragon.
And then they wander away, and then they see something shiny.
Capture the siege camp.
Right, yeah, exactly. And it's like, yeah, just forget the dragon. We got like a, you know, much lesser creature that maybe we can take. And I get frustrated, and then I end up like, finishing off the game while they're just squabbling over shrines. They're just going back and forth, just squabbling. And I'm like, well, I just won the game, guys. Thanks for the help.
Yeah, no, man, I'll be quite frank. I like playing bots sometimes to warm up.
Hi, Frank. I'm Kai.
Well, sorry, I'm Frank now. No. So, no, I like warming up with bots sometimes, no matter what kind of game I'm playing. In those type of games, Heroes of the Storm, StarCraft, or Counter-Strike, I'll warm up with bots just to kind of get my... just to warm up. But then after that, it's like, I can't stand playing against bots, actually. That's why we have the internet, so we don't have to play against bots. And so it really does introduce a whole new level of fun. I mean, there's two aspects, main aspects of playing online that I think are difficult, though, to overcome. And one of them is, like what you had mentioned, is just the saltiness that's pervasive on any online competitive type game. You know, there's going to be people that are going to on your team that are going to be discouraged because you're not doing well, and they're going to lash out. And then the other difficult part, and if you take that personally, or even if you don't take it personally, but even if you're just like, you know, it's not fun to have someone on your team talking trash to you when you're trying, you know. But I think the other big aspect too is that it is tied to that one a little bit. But when you play online, there is in a competitive game, there's a lot more competitiveness, and that's comes part and parcel with the whole online gaming thing. But when you're in a competitive game, then you want to keep getting better, and it's frustrating when you don't. But to get better, you have to spend more time, and you really, honestly, you have to play with people. Bots won't really help you get better. They'll help you get better against bots. Bots are really just good for warming up and kind of like figuring out, you know, okay, I'm pumping yourself up for a match against real people. So really, you know, online gaming and Heroes of the Storm is the same. It thrives under, you know, playing with real people. And that's why it would be fun to put a whole squad together for Heroes of the Storm, because I don't play enough games right now. I'm just kind of in a season of my life where I am playing, but I don't really have the time to spend to do much more than a warm up. You know, I mean, I might play for an hour occasionally,
right, yeah.
But when you're doing that, it's like you warm up for 30 minutes, and then you might dabble in a match or two. You're gonna get your butt kicked, and everyone's gonna talk trash to you, and then you gotta go. You gotta go to bed. You know. So I feel like it's, for me, I mean, I haven't played Heroes of Storm all week. I've been wanting to, but I don't think I've played since sometime earlier last week. But it's I would rather play with people I know on top of that. So the idea of getting on and warming up and then playing with a bunch of strangers, and you might have, and part of that is like, you might have a bad team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really not fun. Or somebody quits in your team and like it just kind of ruins everything. And that's always a risk. And then you've kind of invested this time. This is going to be my time to play. And then like it's spoiled by some stranger thousands of miles away.
which is me. And I'm the one that's spoiling their match. And that's why, I mean, it'd probably be much cooler if you had a squad that you played with, and that way, you know, they all know, hey, it's like, hey, Kai's really new. He's like level 8, you know,
that's
what you're expecting in your teaching.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I kind of feel bad like ruining every, like, you know, cause it's like, okay, so we played a couple of matches, where, like, the other team was like super coordinated and like seriously good. Mm-hmm. And
when you and Atropos were playing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Atropos was frustrated at it. And I certainly was, because it's like, this is 20 minutes of my life and I'm not doing anything. It's like, I can't engage anything because
Yeah,
it's like as soon as I try to engage something, all of a sudden there's three heroes coming out of the bushes surrounding me, and I'm dead. And I'm dead, like, right then. And now I'm waiting however many seconds to respawn just to go do it again. And it wasn't fun at all. I know people were getting frustrated with me, being the new guy.
Because if you remember, I think at least that particular, you're talking about a particular match to me, and I guess it might have happened over the span of a few matches where we were like losing a bunch, but part of it too was a lot of these competitive games, and this is really annoying and this is really dirty, but the whole pub stomping idea, that people come into games, they get pretty good, but then they come up against people who are even better than they just can't win. They can't progress. So they get angry. So they make another account, a nerf account or whatever. And it's just, and then they go back to playing, but now they're playing with their record is much lower. They find ways to manipulate the system so they can win. So they can
keep
playing with people who are, and I think that actually happened in one of those matches. Cause we had our level rankings were similar, but these guys were destroying us, even though they shouldn't have been as good as they were. But I also think that sometimes that happens when your team is more coordinated. So maybe you don't have to be that good. And that's kind of the fun part about it, is if you spend time, and that's why having a squad is good, because you play together and you kind of find out what works. And I mean, and I don't have a problem with losing, and it can be really, you can still have a great fun time and lose. But if your squad isn't cohesive and somebody isn't playing right, I think that night I might not have actually been playing right either, because I think it was kind of towards the end of the night and I was kind of checking out mentally. You know, I was missing all my hook grabs with stitches, didn't catch a single hero. You know, I think I was doing the, and Atropos was watching me. I was like casting it in the wrong direction. Oh, because that was when I switched from Tracer back to stitches, try to do better, but I was still using the hotkeys for Tracer, which are completely different. Then, you know, it's like, so I was all mixed up and backwards. And I think that's another thing about playing in a squad, is like, play the same hero, you'll all play the same heroes, that way you can learn how to work off of each other. So it's an investment of time, but I think if we, even having three people, just me, you and Atropos in a squad, I mean, I think that's enough to, like, we could probably work out some strategies. We just need to be consistent with playing the same characters, and if we want to play somebody new, the courteous thing might be to do is spend some time playing bots with, you know, who you want to experiment with,
right?
Or maybe, you know, instead of like bringing, hey, I'm gonna try this guy out, and like me playing, like, oh, I'm gonna, haven't tried Tracer in 7 years, but I'm gonna go ahead and give it a shot.
That's hilarious. Oh, man. All right. Well, let us actually jump over to our topic, which actually, honestly, is not really a topic at all. We're going to be talking a little bit about arcade games today, but only just to introduce what is going to be and an ongoing segment on the show, hopefully pretty regularly, and hopefully for a good amount of time, but also just our history or lack thereof of playing arcades. And I have to say, like, this show has absolutely been cursed. We were going to be having guests for a different game, and that had to be postponed, which is no problem. But our friend Ken, who has been on the show before and is also my cohort in crime over on the Dice and Dreary podcast, he plays Sprocket over there. He has been building an arcade cabinet, and we've been chatting about that a lot, and he's loading all the games on there, and just however many there are that he's able to put on this cabinet and play he was anxious to share the joy in that, and I was anxious to learn a bit about arcades, and so we thought it was like, okay, today let's have you on to talk about building the cabinet, and then as time goes on and as he's able to play more games, to kind of keep bringing him back to chat about those games. And, he's got some really good ideas about how exactly to format that, but we will get into that as we go. And then, like, the recording of the episode had to be postponed until it was too late one night, and so it's like, okay, well, we'll just do it the next day. And then my internet just completely goes out for like 6 hours, and that makes it very difficult to have guests on. It's not like we have a phone hooked up to the recording equipment, you know. This isn't like an actual morning zoo show. But we did actually want to kind of stick with this general topic of arcades as a way to introduce that, and we will have Ken on very, very soon to talk about building the cabinet, but also talk about the games that he's encountering and the games that I'm hoping that he's going to let us make him play. And so we'll see exactly how that formats out. But I'm actually really excited about this, because this is a chance to learn a lot about some of these old games, and I'm finding, especially like the really early years of gaming, a lot of these games just do not have a ton of information out on them. Thankfully we have saved as many ROMs as we have to at least get something of that experience and something of the history of it. But it's going to be very cool to be able to chat with somebody, who's actually playing through all of these. And so, I don't think that's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, as and just a little bit behind the scenes, I sometimes make schedules out several weeks in advance. They don't work. Those don't work at all. And this is one of the cases. But we do have a schedule set at least a few weeks in advance at this point. And we're going to see if that actually works out and how that goes. That's what we have. So for those big arcade fans out there, please stay tuned, because we're going to be talking about arcade games of all eras, in the show, as pretty much a regular segment, moving forward. So yeah, looking forward to this segment in the future, 'cause, Steven, I don't really know about you, but like, this is like one big massive area of retro gaming that I just don't have a ton of experience in, the whole arcade scene. Did you do a bunch of arcade gaming?
No, I didn't. And it's so funny that, you know, listening to that, because I, you know, the whole time I was just lost in thought. I was speechless. but I, you know, one of the things that I was mulling over in my mind was the only time I've ever actually been to an arcade. Not the only time. I've been several times to an arcade, but it was the same arcade. Now, I'm pretty sure. I mean, there might have been a miscellaneous arcade here or there at different other stages of my life, but the big ones were, I was probably 10, 11, 12, 13 in that, somewhere in that area. And it was at our local mall. I lived in a really small town, and it was our local mall, and it was a pretty substantial arcade. For, you know, it was in a mall. It took up a whole mall suite, and yeah. There was a lot of games there, and I always wanted to go there, but I never was allowed to go. It was kind of like, oh, we don't have time for that, and also, you know, I never got to spend a lot of time, but I did go a few times, and the times that I did went, I had the time of my life. You know, I mean, it was like, I didn't have console as a younger person. I mean, I mentioned before, we had a computer. But it's not the same. And so all these games weren't even like, oh, I have to play this on a console, because this was a little, I guess the time frame would have been a little post arcade era that I actually, yeah, this arcade was existing. And so the games, yeah, were, a lot of them are newer. And I remember there's always like the games I always wanted to play had the biggest cases, you know, the biggest.
Yeah.
And like the jet fighter game, or the thing would move a little bit, or the motorcycles. And,
oh, yeah.
But yeah, man, like, I feel like I actually missed that age wise. And also I was on a pretty short leash as a kid. So I wasn't one of those cool kids that like was given the freedom to get out of the house and go do whatever they wanted, you know, ride their skateboard down to the local arcade. Right. Didn't have a skateboard. So anyway, I missed it, man. And so, but you were actually in that time period or generation.
I was the right age. And before I say this, first of all, I just noticed a friend of mine started a Facebook post with the question, "What is love?" And please don't do that. Guess exactly it, because I'm now required by law to respond to your Facebook post, which is a very serious post. But I'm required by law to type out, "Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more." And I felt bad don't about doing it, but
or you lose control. Just hold on loosely. You got to throw in every pop reference to love.
Gosh. Oh, so I had to throw that in. But yeah, no, I was the right age for it, but
for love?
For love, yes.
oh, we're talking about the arcade. Okay.
Right. But yeah, this was not something first of all, we didn't really have one near us, but at the same time, it's like, and a lot of people forget this. It's like a lot of arcades in the 80s got the reputation for, you know, not having the greatest crowd around. And a lot of that was for good reason. And this it was not all like just, you know, nerds wanting to geek out on games. It was, you know, the teenagers who were up to no good were there. And so, I really wasn't permitted to go into them much. There was a tiny arcade at the bowling alley where I lived, and I was taking bowling lessons, which, gosh, that sounds dorky, doesn't it?
You took bowling lessons?
I did take bowling lessons.
Are you good at bowling?
No.
Okay.
Well, no, wait. It was a league / kind of instructional.
I would have said that. I would go ahead. I know this is a live show, but I would go ahead.
Let me rephrase. I was in a league.
Yeah, I was in a bowling league as a kid. Just say that.
Yes, I was in a bowling league.
Sounds like.
Yeah, no, that sounded bad. It really did.
It sounds totally wrong.
But I would get there early and I would hang out there. I didn't have any quarters, so I couldn't play anything. So, but I really liked watching them, and I was just fascinated. It was some sort of R-type like game that was just mesmerizing to me. And I got to play early on in arcade world. I did play some Mrs. Pac-Man and Galaga, stuff. Really loved Galaga's great game. But the two biggest arcade experiences for me was first of all, when Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out, and we had a party at an arcade, and so I got a ton of quarters, and that machine took all of them, and we four-playered TMNT from beginning to end, and it was awesome, and it cost me a lot of money, but it was so much fun. But the other one was just it was a good lesson for the future retro gaming podcaster, to learn that different versions of the same game would be different and they would feel different. And a port to a system didn't mean that the port was perfect, or even close. Cause I got Mortal Kombat on SNES. And I was really good at this game, you know. Yes. It's like, there wasn't online play or anything like this, but I was really good at the game.
You like, knew the fatalities and stuff,
right? Yeah, it's like, and it didn't matter who I played. Whenever somebody would play against me, I didn't lose. I beat everyone I played. I was in a movie theater waiting for a movie to start, and they had Mortal Kombat, and there was this cat there who was playing it, and I was like, all right, well, I'm going to give this guy what for, and put my quarter down and kind of stretched out and popped my knuckles and got obliterated, and it wasn't because he was that good, but because all of the little differences. You know, the timing is just different, and I didn't know that, and so I was doing all of the right SNES moves, but they didn't. It was the same patterns. It was just the timing was different.
Wow.
And I got destroyed, it was a good humbling moment for me, and a good way to realize it's like, oh, just because the games have the same title doesn't mean they're the exact same game.
Yeah,
but
that's really interesting because I'm I never thought about that, the difference between actually playing on a console versus playing it on the arcade. I mean, I never experienced that, so I had no idea even.
Yeah, the other one I remember being on vacation once, and there was an arcade. I can't remember what it was, but it was one with the first person shooter kind of games, and it had like the mounted machine gun there, and I put a lot of quarters in that because that was a lot of fun. Just the feel, the feel of having a gun there. It's like people wonder why Duck Hunt was so popular, because it's a really ridiculously stupid game.
I love that game.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, no, but I mean the whole point is it's you're like
a gun.
It's because you're holding a gun. You're pointing it at something to shoot, and it's fun. Wow, it's the most southern thing I've ever said, but I stand by it.
Oh man, it's relaxing when you get to kill something.
Right. It's like yoga, except
there you go.
Except you get to kill something. That Duck Hunt. It's like yoga, except you get to kill something. That should have been the tagline.
It would have worked. It fits perfect, actually.
I'm so glad you remember that line because I forgot all about it.
Just trying to tie it all together, man. Just trying to tie it all together.
Oh man. So, this is going to be a lot of fun because this is going to be an area where, like, I know very, very little.
It's the lifeblood of retro gaming. I mean, it's retro gaming at its pinnacle. I mean, it actually combines, like, if you could say something, any kind of multiplayer gaming that happened, you know, prior to the internet, it happened in arcades.
Yeah.
And so it's like this is the precursor to competitive online play, which is now dominating gaming.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's important. It's an important piece of the puzzle that our good guest has begun to fit into our puzzle.
Right, yeah.
But it was crumbling.
Yeah, and I think the format is going to be good because the other thing, you know, when you're doing a show about retro gaming, it's like when you're tackling a game, you need to have at least enough material about this game to last, 30 minutes of conversation. Which we get off topic a lot, and for those who haven't figured it out, you know, we don't actually get to the topic for a good 20 minutes, but this is the way our show works.
Yeah, we'd be in trouble if we had to get in there sooner.
Oh, but you've got to have a topic that you can talk about for a while, and so it's like I played a lot of Galaga. And I could, we could jump into Galaga. It's a blast to play, but it's like the trouble with arcade games is because there's not really a story and there's not really that much variety in the gameplay. You're like, it's like, and then the bumblebee, monster, they do a little spinny thing, and then you got the green one and it shoots a laser and takes your ship. But then if you shoot it, you get your ship back and you have two ships. And it's like, and now we're done talking about Galaga, right? And so being able to, to actually... And this is why, it's like, okay, so we're retro gaming, but we don't talk a ton about like C64 games or the really early games. And we really jump a lot into like the NES era, the SNES, PC gaming, because these things have stories. And we can talk about the stories.
Exactly.
And fill up a whole show, because otherwise it's just going to be, and that's Galaga, and we just talked for 8 minutes, and we're done. And y'all can get mad at me for not having long episodes, because that's something that no one has ever said ever.
The end.
No one has said, Kai, you need to talk more. You're not talking enough. These episodes, they need to be longer, because... you don't talk enough. That's never happened. So,
that's hilarious, dude. No, that's a problem we don't have to deal with, fortunately.
Yeah. Because, oh goodness.
Yeah. For many reasons.
I didn't know you were gonna keep going. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, fine. No. Just prove my point.
I was trying to truncate the monologues a little bit to. Try to prove that we can control ourselves.
No, never truncate. Always elongate. I don't know what the opposite of truncate.
What did our friends over at the Backlog Breakdown, who hopefully if we can,
Do they listen to the show? That's what I want to know.
Well, This is how we're going to find this out. Nate and Josh, as soon as you hear this, shout out to me on Facebook or on Twitter and
any of the other numerous
platforms.
That
they're on Twitter. I think one of them follows me on Twitch. I don't know. Oh, yeah, just,
they're not going to say anything. They're not going to listen. They're
right. And they're supposed, they were, they, okay, so I'm going to call them out because we're getting into this. So
you can't tip them off though. This has to be for you too, man.
No, this has to be an honesty thing.
You can't say like, "Hey, I shouted you out. I check your, you watch this my podcast."
No, that's not going to happen. Good. But we were supposed to be talking about Earthbound this week, and one of them, not one of the two that I mentioned, but it's somebody else. who can also shout me out when you hear this.
This is being a business, like, one of those Facebook folks. Like, I bet you won't share this if you're my friend.
Yes. If you're listening right now, I bet you won't tell five friends about the Retro Zoo Super Show. It's not that big a deal. It's a scheduling issue that we got this pushed back. But the point of that is they will hopefully be on the zoo very, very soon to talk about Earthbound, which I'm pretty excited about. wow, we rabbit holed that one. The whole point was that they say, and this is hilarious that it's taken me this long to explain what they say based on what they say, but they say is we're very bad at brevity. And it took me how long to say that?
I think that makes you better at being bad at brevity than they are.
Yeah, I am.
You just won the brevity king. Badness match.
Right, yes. I am like the heart and soul of anti-brevity is
I love that you said you're the heart and soul of anti-brevity. That should be the name of this episode.
Heart and soul of anti-brevity. Oh, gosh.
I'm the anti-brevity boss.
Oh, man. Have you heard that John Panette bit about Cake Boss?
No.
Oh, man. You know John Panette?
No.
His famous bit is the Chinese buffet. He was a really big guy. He unfortunately is dead now. One of my favorite comedians. He's so great.
Let me type it in just so I can listen to it maybe afterwards.
Yeah, so,
John Panette.
Panette, P-I-N-E-T-T-E. Man, listeners, I'm willing to bet that you're not going to type in John Panette and listen to his great bits. But he had a bit about
five people won't listen to him.
Right. He had this great bit about Cake Boss, and he's like, in essence, what it is, this is something y'all could go listen to, but in essence is what it is that I don't think you can declare yourself the boss of something, a boss of a food. I'm pretty sure there needs to be a committee that they need to, like, you know, go through this before you're able to just declare yourself boss of a food. But it's really good. It's good stuff.
Oh, dude, his face looks great.
So if you watch the last episode of Seinfeld, he was the guy who was held up by the robber that the four stars made fun of and got arrested for. Not to give away spoilers for that, but if you haven't seen the last episode of Seinfeld, there's something wrong with you.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, my gosh.
We didn't have TV in my house.
You haven't seen Seinfeld, though?
Well, that was like when I mean, it was on TV when I was younger, but we didn't have a TV. And
okay, I literally have all the DVDs.
Well,
we could remedy this at any moment.
Is your video library still open for rental?
Yes, for it rental? Is. Yes. Oh my goodness, Seinfeld is the best. It's about time to go, but it does look like we have a call.
Oh.
Drum, who do we got?
We have a caller on line one.
I don't know why I asked that. As soon as the words left my lips, caller, you are on the air.
Hello, Kai. I'm glad I've reached you. I've been trying to reach you for some time.
Okay. Well, who is this?
You might remember me. My name is Sergeant Cole Nami.
Sergeant. Did we lose the connection?
No, I was messing with the phone over here. And
did you hang up on him?
I thought that the wire that went into the phone wasn't supposed to be there. So I took it out. You want me to put it back in?
Yeah.
My bad. I was rearranging some things and I realized the wire was stuck inside the phone. And I was like, why is it in there? So, okay, here we go. Put it back in.
Okay. Why is Sergeant Nami trying to reach me? Shouldn't he be reaching you?
Sergeant Nami, you know, okay, I didn't want to say this, but Sergeant Nami is, he's kind of on the short list for termination. And there's been a lot of stuff going on. His reputation is at stake. He says something to somebody, what? And they took it the wrong way. And it's all gone up through HR, and it's stuck in the gears of bureaucracy like a big ball of lint covered what? In wax with slime.
Why is he calling me then?
Well, because he probably... I mean, this is the show, the radio show. Maybe he wanted to request the song, but... Anyway, we just don't want to have anything to do with him right now. I think he's
who is he's our a little... Nami?
Oh, yeah, John, you remember he's the he was when okay you weren't stuck in the storeroom, but we thought or I don't know. Anyways, when Steven was working at the bookstore last year, and he went missing in the storeroom. Sergeant Nami was your supervisor, right, or something, and he was looking for you in there.
Well, that's even debatable because he really wasn't supposed to be my supervisor. I mean, he's kind of overstepped his bounds even there. I have another supervisor, Sergeant York, and he, you know, he was a great hero in the war and was actually a snapshot what? Shooter. And Sergeant Nami was just kind of you know what? Sergeant Nami never called. He's kind of a goofball. We don't really need to deal with him. Do we have another caller, Drum? Drum, do we have another caller on any line?
There is another call.
No, wait. Are you sure? I mean, I was just saying that. Just okay. Well, let's take this call. Let's see who it is.
Okay. Yeah. Hey. This is Kai. You're on the air.
Yes. You just disconnected the call. This is.
Did you just hang up on him
weird.
Again?
No, it's the thing fell off the table, I think, and that's weird. Weird! Isn't that weird, Drum? Did you see that, Drum?
I was not paying attention.
Well, that's good, because nothing big happened, but...
I was playing Heroes on the Storm.
That's good. That's good. You keep playing that. You focus on you, Drum. How often do we give... Drum time for himself. This is a really good development. I like that he's focusing on Heroes of the Storm. He seems to be leveling up. He's getting really good with, you know, all with Uther, and it looks like he's going to be a great gnome artificer. You cut that out. I don't know why.
I think we already have a gnome artificer.
Faster.
So, okay. So, yeah, we'll go ahead and end it there. We do appreciate you listening in. Please do join us on our Discord server. You can check that out in the show notes. Our Patreon page is patreon.com/technofunkboy. We weren't able to actually fit in the Mega Man song in this episode, so I think I'm just gonna. I have a couple of songs to play for y'all, so I think I'm just gonna add like a special episode before the next episode, just to play some music for you, because we have a couple of tunes coming out now or have just come out that I definitely wanted y'all to check out. But the Mega Man stuff is on Patreon at any level, and we will also. Talk about where you can get the other music on that next episode. But until that time, thank you, and we will catch you next time.
See y'all later.
The Retro Zoo Super Show is brought to you by the Techno Convoy. Follow us on Twitter at TechnoFunkBoy, on Facebook at The TechnoFunkBoy, and sign up for our email list at TechnoFunkBoy.com. Also look for us on Spotify, iTunes, and Amazon for music. If you are so inclined, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast catcher. If you are not so inclined, you are obviously some sort of villain trying to conquer the world. Unowned music and gameplay clips are meant for educational and critical purposes. Thank you for listening. Keep gaming. Unless you have responsibilities that need to be done at this time, then you can game later.